Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. The show is also known as Jawanza for Life. I'm so glad that you are able to tune in. I want to first say welcome, welcome, welcome to all of the new listeners. For all of you who just started listening to the show, I want to say again welcome, because after the show that we just did, what was it, Monday, with Shechem or Shechem, Dr. Rahm and Nephilim, man, a lot of people joined. They wanted to hear more, and I guarantee you that you tuned in today, and you're going to hear a show that is really going to impress you. I can guarantee you that already. It's going to really impress you. For the new listeners, if you already scrolled down the archives and you saw and, you know, seen the name Dr. Lathan and you've listened to some of her shows, then you know what I'm talking about. But for those new listeners who have yet to hear Dr. Lathan, you're in for a treat today. And I say a treat and keeping that in perspective, because, you know, normally when people are talking about holistic health, you know, they're not thinking of listening to a holistic health show and getting a treat, no pun intended, on the treat, you know. But when you're listening to Dr. Lathan, I guarantee you, you're in for a treat, because you're going to hear information that, of course, is going to be credible and sound, but you're also going to hear it in a way that captures your attention, and you're going to be glad that you tuned in. And so while you're listening, for those who are listening online, take a moment, get your phone and text somebody and tell them to tune in as well. You know, there's nothing like sharing. I mean, when you're getting a good meal, you want other people to enjoy it as well. So take a moment, just text somebody else, let them know that Dr. Lathan is on the air right now between now and 7, and if they tune in, they can enjoy the meal as well. Again, my name is Jawanza. My special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. And for those, again, who are just tuning in for the first time, Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. She inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer, and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. Dr. Lathan is a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the National School Lunch Program. She is the host of the Veggie Chest, which is a plant-based cooking show. And through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Lathan hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So, that being said, I really want to emphasize the fact that she provides customized nutritional consultations, so that after you hear her, if you feel like you can benefit from connecting with her and having her to customize a nutrition plan for you to deal with whatever your condition may be, then we want you to know that that's a possibility. You can definitely get in contact with her and make that happen. Okay, so again, we talked about in the bio that, you know, she really has a powerful, powerful testimony. I mean, from recovering from thyroid cancer after the doctors had basically told her they wanted to remove her thyroid. Now, there may be somebody out there that's dealing with a thyroid issue or any other issue, and we're here today to tell you that her testimony can be your testimony, but in order to get the testimony that she has, you have to do what she did. But I'll let her explain what she did and how what she did actually changed, saved, and her life, and can possibly do the same for you. Dr. Lathan, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you, as always, my sister. Great, 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 great time to talk about holistic health. It always is. And, you know, we kind of took a month off, but it's great to have you back and to share your testimony and the topic of today, which is, of course, you don't have to live with bronchitis. But Dr. Lathan, could you share with our listeners, first, welcome back, but can you share with our listeners how you got started on the holistic health path?
All right, sure. Yeah, it was, as you mentioned, it's been several years now when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and just was feeling the need to try something natural. And, you know, it was just kind of a gut instinct that, you know, I should do something different. And so I just started researching on what that might be, what natural healing looked like. And found a lot of information about plant-based diets and decided that's the way that I wanted to go. And I switched my diet, and, you know, there was just a wealth of information, a lot of things to go through, though, a lot of you know, different things that you find online. But I, you know, it wasn't just what I was finding online. I consulted with a lot of different people and kind of came up with some, you know, a consensus and conclusion that, you know, diet was key. And then there are a number of supplements and things that can help you boost your immune system. And so that's what I did. And I was able to, you know, heal myself naturally with diet and lifestyle changes. And I was really excited about that. So wanted to continue. And then I really wanted other people to know, once it worked for me, you know, I was like, this is something everybody needs to know about. Everyone needs to know that you can heal yourself with what you eat every day. And so that's how I got into this field of wanting to share that information and make things a little easier for folks. So,
you know, after having cured yourself of thyroid cancer, and then in subsequent times, you know, with your, I'm sure you've added on to your knowledge since then. I mean, you know, constantly researching and studying, and, you know, even since then, having learned more about the body. Does it ever shock you? Because it shocks me when I hear about people today, educated people, who still are succumbing to cancer and, you know, different things. Like when I heard about, I believe, Steve Jobs, and then, you know, even more recently, you know, John McCain and other people, you know, that are obviously intelligent people, you know. And I know that if they themselves are intelligent, that they also have to surround themselves, excuse me, with other intelligent people. Yet, this information concerning holistic health is either not reaching them, or it's reaching them and they're rejecting it. Does it ever surprise you when you hear of people that you know are obviously intelligent succumbing to the condition that you yourself, another intelligent person, have a cure? Does it ever make you pause like, wow, you know, they could have been healed? Does that thought ever cross your mind?
I've thought about, you know, lots of, you know, people when these things come up that are, you know, going through the traditional thing. And, yeah, thinking that, wow, that's a possibility. If they chose a different route, it might come out more successful for them. Things like that, absolutely. But I understand the general programming that people have and the programming that we've had against natural treatment also. So, you know, there's a stigma against it. And so people have pretty well been brainwashed against the natural treatment. So they will actually point to one or two people that they heard, you know, who were maybe high profile, like Steve Jobs. Actually, I heard that he was doing natural treatment of some sort. So people will actually point to that as a reason why, you know, not to do natural. You know, I heard so-and-so was doing something. But they failed to look at the millions of people who've succumbed to cancer and other things following the protocols and taking the medications correctly and doing everything they're told and die. So, you know, so we have to first get over the programming. So I don't think it's necessarily, you know, intelligence, but what you've been exposed to and what you're willing to believe. And sometimes, you know, we follow the establishment that, oh, I'm going to go to the best doctors, the best healthcare money can buy, which is still traditional treatment, that it's still going to give you pretty similar results. You know, it doesn't really matter how good the cancer surgeon is or the cancer doctor is, you know, if your body may or may not respond to the chemo regardless. So, but people were designed to believe that the more expensive it is, the more established it is, the more accepted it is by the medical community, then that must be what is the best, as opposed to the simple things, the easy things, the things that actually naturally flow with the body. So,
well, has it been your experience, Edwin, working with people, just looking at a younger person versus an elderly person, do you find that it's easier for is there one particular group that seems to be more readily open to receive this information than others? I mean, because, like, for example, when it comes to computers, for example, you might have young people who grew up with the computer, and, I mean, they're computer whizzes, whereas somebody, you know, maybe in their 50s, 60s or whatever might be struggling with the computer and even, you know, certain, you know, aspects of how does it work, you know, I'm not down with that, just, you know, I'm not even going to fool with that or whatever. It could be the same with holistic health. With this information becoming more readily available now, there are probably more vegans in America than at any other time probably. And so children that are growing up in this country at this time with the exposure that they may be getting to this information, whereas, of course, we would like for it to be more, but it's probably more than ever before. And then you take somebody that might be older who's hearing this information, and this might be the same as a computer to them. You know what I mean? This information is like, I'm not, look, just pass the meat, pass the potatoes, you know what I mean? I'm going to stick with my diet and trust my doctor. When it comes to receptivity to this information, do you find that there's a breakdown among age lines, age groups?
Absolutely. Definitely. With the ease of access to information and people who've grown up with the internet always having been there or close to it, tend to be a lot more open to alternative information. And soon this won't be alternative information anymore, especially once we take that label all off of it. But they're much more open to trying things that are not mainstream yet. And they're definitely more open to plant-based diets and all of that. So absolutely. I mean, and part of that is just not just the technology, but, you know, the older we get, the more set in our ways we get. The younger we are, the more willing we're maybe able to accept the new paradigm a little easier. So,
Interesting. Today we're going to be talking about bronchitis. You don't have to live with bronchitis. There may be somebody out there that's suffering from bronchitis, and from what I understand about it, it can be very, very a traumatic experience to have to go through if you've got it. And so we're going to be talking about that today. But for those who might not know what it is, or you, the only explanation you may have gotten is from your doctor, Dr. Lathan, what is bronchitis? And we'll start there. What actually is bronchitis, and what brings it on?
Sure. Bronchitis is really just the inflammation of the bronchial tubes that are in our chest cavity. So when those get inflamed and infected, that is what bronchitis is. It's really that inflammation. And the severity of it depends on, you know, if there's an infection going on and how long and strong it is and that kind of thing. So it's often brought on by, you know, having a cold or flu that hasn't been remedied quickly or has lingered. And then sometimes it kind of morphs into this into bronchitis because the inflammation continues there and then, you know, moves to that part of the body. So basically it's just inflammation that is caused by irritants in the bronchial tubes, you know, swelling in the bronchial tubes is what it is.
So is the inflammation, because we do know that there are certain foods that cause inflammation, so could the same things be happening and just manifesting in the bronchial tubes? I mean, for example, if you're eating dairy or something, could dairy contribute to, could eating of dairy be a risk factor you know, in as smoking could be a risk factor, could when it comes, because people might automatically associate smoking as a risk factor. They might know, okay, I know smoking is bad for my lungs, you know, but they might not even consider that dairy or meat may have an effect on that. Would that contribute to the inflammation, or could it?
It could, yeah. Generally, it's usually brought on by a virus of some sort that causes the inflammation and swelling. A similar virus to, what causes colds, flus, those kind of things. That has moved, there too long. So anything that's going to increase inflammation in the body in general can make that worse. I haven't seen where, like, eating dairy causes bronchitis, but it can certainly make it worse because of the mucus formation that it causes and the inflammation that it causes. So, it's a factor, but it hasn't really been listed, let's say, like, as a cause, because most of the cause has to do with virus-type things that enter the body that then turn into bronchitis.
Okay.
Irritate the lungs. So things like smoking and dust and those kind of things are more direct contributors to bronchitis. But dairy can certainly lower your immune system and make you more susceptible to it, can definitely make it harder to get rid of and make the symptoms worse overall.
The reason I asked is because as I was reading up on it today, one of the things I came across was that when severe cough is often associated with bronchitis, and with mm-hmm. that cough, coughing up a lot of mucus, you know what I mean? And the mucus could be, different colors even, it might be dark mucus, mm-hmm. it might be, different colored mucus or whatever, and that's what made me wonder was that mucus, since that's what's being coughed up, and I assume that if, let's say, for example, you take somebody who did not have a lot of mucus. Let's say you take somebody that was vegan, So I assume then that it's not impossible then that a vegan could actually get bronchitis and wonder, where am I getting this bronchitis from if it's not, associated directly with the meat and the dairy, but a virus, a vegan could catch the virus, or if you're saying that a vegan's immune system would probably be built up enough to combat the virus, so that would probably, the incidences would probably be less with vegans, just simply because, if not the direct correlation with the meat in the dairy, just the immune system being built up would be a factor in that, correct?
Right, right. Absolutely. Just having the stronger immune system and able to fight it off, and less things that cause inflammation in the diet, too.
Well, what would be the difference between acute bronchitis and chronic bronchitis for somebody that is dealing or just doesn't know that, they just say, I got bronchitis and they haven't done the research. What's the difference between acute and chronic?
So with acute, it's more of a short-term thing, kind of like a cold or flu. It's here and then it's gone, short-term. A week or two or short-term factor. But usually it clears up pretty, quickly within less than 2 weeks is would be an acute. So you kind of like had a bout of bronchitis. Chronic is when it's ongoing. And then, there's damage that's kind of being done over time to the lungs or to the bronchial cavities, and you're starting to lose, lung capacity because of this. It's people who have that ongoing cough that's not emphysema or something like that, but kind of always not building up the immune system long enough, strong enough to actually get rid of it, and so it just lingers, and sometimes it gets a little better, but it's never gone. And so then that can cause long-term damage, especially with the coughing is just an irritant. But it also kind of gives the virus a chance to, you know, get a stronger hold. And so then it makes, when it flares up, it makes it harder to deal with when you have that chronic ongoing bronchitis. So you really want to deal with it aggressively and quickly and get rid of it.
So for somebody who may have it, let's say somebody has chronic bronchitis and they've been dealing with it for a while. I mean, they've been going through the cough and the cough and the cough, and I mean, and they're just tired, and the whatever the doctor's giving them is just not working, you know. What holistic remedies or treatments would you suggest that they consider, because they could just be fed up with the whole thing, and they just gotta, you know, I guess it's, from what I understand, this could go on for weeks at a time, and that seems like, I mean, just coughing, I mean, for weeks at a time seems like that's no fun. It seems like, I mean, you could end up having to take off work for that because you can't be sitting at work, depending on your job, coughing all day. I mean, what holistic treatment would you recommend for somebody who's dealing with a chronic condition like that?
Sure. I would say you really kind of want to treat it like the flu and be very aggressive with it. So you're going to want to, you know, get rest, obviously. You're going to want to stay very hydrated. You want to eat a very high anti-inflammatory diet. So that's going to be lots of greens and obviously removing inflammation, things like dairy, definitely for sure. You know, any of those cheese, milk products, to take that out of the diet and focus on more healing foods, things that help bring inflammation down, like ginger and turmeric and lots of greens and a lot of probiotic-rich food, too, that help just take inflammation out of the body. And then the probiotics are really good because it's really helping support your immune system. So, and which is the key here, is to get your immune system in shape so that it can really fight and get rid of that. So obviously if you're smoking, you need to quit immediately because in fact it's very hard to heal if you have bronchitis and are still smoking. So and then sometimes steam helps in the interim because it, you know, kind of helps open things up when you're breathing, so you can, some people use humidifiers, but you have to make sure they're very clean because humidifiers can tend to get mold in them if they're not cleaned properly. But that does help, having the steam. And you can also, put your face over steam and inhale that, but you could use different things. And then as far as like different supplements, you know, it's going to be similar to, you know, if you're fighting a cold or flu, so vitamin D is going to be really high mm-hmm. on the list. You know, taking large amounts of that, like a vitamin C powder, but also foods like kiwi and grapefruit that are high in vitamin C, you know, greens like kale and collards and things in the cruciferous family like cabbage and broccoli, those are going to be really important. But oregano oil is one of those things that helps kill viruses, along with grapefruit seed extract, L-agricept. It's usually found, but you can put in grapefruit seed extract. Those things really help take a virus down, and usually you take them for anywhere from 2 weeks to 30 days to make sure that it's gone.
That's interesting. Could you talk? You mentioned vitamin C, and I know that there are a lot of people out here that are proponents of the vitamin C, and I just want to, you know, stress that, you know, the importance of that and how, where people can get that. I mean, they can normally get the powdered vitamin C at any most health food stores. And how many milligrams would you recommend that an individual take? And would that be like, what, one heaping teaspoon or tablespoon or two or one in the morning, one in the evening? How would you recommend that day? And how? In orange juice or in what form?
Good question. So I wouldn't do orange juice. It has too much sugar. So you could blend a smoothie that's got a lot of vitamin C rich foods in it, like kiwi, strawberry, kale, those with ginger. Those are all anti-inflammatories and all high in vitamin C. So that's a start. You could also juice some things. But if you're going to take the supplement, which would be recommended also, you want about 4,000 to 5,000 milligrams a day. You can split that up and take it, you know, 1,500 morning, noon, and night. It's good if you can break it up and take it throughout the day, so your body absorbs it as needed. So, you can take it as a powder. Usually you can put that in water or in a smoothie, you know, with maybe in a green juice or something. But we want to stay away from the fruit juices because they're just too sweet.
And you would want the non-acidic kind, correct?
Right. There's a cup. I mean, either will work, but yes, you can, you know, it's still going to be beneficial either way, but yeah, you're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about distilled water, Dr. Latham? Because you mentioned that this bronchitis is caused by a virus, and because distilled water is void of, you know, minerals and so forth, it's been, you know, basically distilled out of the water, then I would assume, and I've heard, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that then the distilled water acts as a sponge and basically absorbs or soaks up everything as it's going through. It's pulling out impurities. Would that help when it comes to a virus? Could the distilled water be used to sponge up, for lack of a better term, the virus? Sounds like a crazy question, but, you know, could it be used in that way? I mean, distilled water, would that be helpful as opposed to spring water in this particular instance?
Now you want the purest water you can get. So, sure, you know, that's going to be, you know, helpful to have distilled water because it's very pure. As to whether it's going to kind of soak up the virus things that are kind of causing the bronchitis, I'm not sure that it's going to be that effective doing that. Not from what I've read. I mean, it's a possibility, but I don't have any data on that it being strong enough to actually kind of pull out the viruses and things like that. But I would say drinking, staying really well hydrated and very well rested is key. And the purer the water, the better. And distilled is definitely at the top of the list of the purest water. So I do recommend, trying to get, you know, the purest water you can. And distilled is definitely part of that.
Any difference between, like, distilled and reverse osmosis? I mean, you know, for those people who are really into the, the holistic health, they may have heard of reverse osmosis water. I mean, is that you would still put distilled up higher on the list than that?
Distilled is higher because it's captured from the steam that comes off water, so there's no impurities in it. Reverse osmosis is just water that's been purified through that process of certain filters and reverse osmosis. So it's good water, but it's not as pure as distilled water.
Okay.
So things still remain. And that's why distilled water, you know, doesn't have the naturally occurring minerals in it because everything has been removed from there because we're just capturing the steam. So sometimes it's good to have a combination of, say, spring water and distilled water. That, in terms of drinking distilled exclusively, you could miss some naturally occurring minerals.
So during an individual healing process, as they're, you know, endeavoring to get rid of the condition, now, then if they're doing the distilled water, And again, that's void of minerals. Of course, minerals are healthy for the body. So it would be very important then for them to get those minerals to make sure that the diet that they're ingesting is one that's filled with minerals, that the food that they are eating and intaking is filled with minerals if the water's not, correct?
Right, that's correct. And they probably even want to take a supplement at that point. If your immune system is compromised to the point that you have bronchitis, you probably want to take a multivitamin that has trace minerals in it or a trace mineral supplement anyway, just to help your body heal. So that would definitely be advised because you need all the help you can get at this point. So in addition to the food, some supplementation would be suggested to help fight it off at that point once it's advanced to bronchitis. So absolutely a lot of vitamins have trace minerals, or like I said, you can get a trace mineral supplement separately and take that, and that'll be very helpful. It has things like zinc and other things that really help fight colds, flus, bronchitis,
yes,
and viruses.
Well, doctor, in addition to, say, smoking, could you think of any other risk factors besides smoking that would, you know, lend someone to be susceptible to a condition such as bronchitis?
Usually, a lot of times it just depends. It's usually if you're susceptible to colds and flus and that kind of thing where you're constantly getting a lot of mucus in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're someone who basically stays congested, you're going to have a higher probability of that causing a problem. So not getting enough rest is another factor. Just being exposed to a lot of dust and things like that you're inhaling, in addition to things like smoke, would be a factor too.
So somebody would need to definitely wear a mask or maybe even a surgical mask if they had a job that, you know, had them working around a lot of dust. Now, this would be for somebody that may not even have been diagnosed with bronchitis, on a preventive side. If you happen to find yourself in a situation where you have to be around a place where there's just a whole bunch of dust in the air, maybe wearing a surgical mask, forget what it looks like, you're trying to protect your lungs, right? I mean, would that be recommended?
Yeah, definitely it would. And you have to get kind of a real mask if you're going to be working with that kind of stuff, because the little paper mask you kind of put over your face doesn't really block anything. Maybe it helps you from getting germs on other people, but it doesn't really stop you from inhaling because it gets all around the mask and everything like that. So, a real breathing type mask, if that's something you're going to be doing on a regular basis, would be highly important. And if you're someone who's prone to catching colds, they got to deal with your immune system in general, because that shouldn't be happening. If you get this cold 2, 3, 4 times a year, every year, then that's a sign that you have a weakened immune system. And then little things that somebody else would just, you know, basically cough off, now it's causing an infection for you. So that's really an important piece of it, is building the immune system up and paying attention to that. That's weakened if you're continuing to do it. But definitely what you're breathing in matters, absolutely.
Well, and so when it comes to the masks and things, like, let's say, for example, you take a woman who goes and gets her nails done all the time, and the fumes from that, she's inhaling that. Now, I don't know if those fumes, like you mentioned, this chronic bronchitis is caused by a virus. So getting inhaling the fumes at a nail salon might not be a virus, but that could certainly affect your lungs. And I don't know if that would weaken maybe even or help to weaken your immune system to the point where you could be open now to the virus if for whatever reason you come in contact with it, just having had your immune system weakened by inhaling fumes, say whether it's at a, you know, a nail salon or some other place where you're just inhaling fumes. Could be maybe inhaling household products that you're spraying around the house, or, you know, Clorox or ammonia or whatever. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. So anything that can act as an irritant, like vapors and things like that, can be a factor to help trigger or cause bronchitis. So definitely chronic exposure to something toxic like a nail shop could trigger that for sure. So that is, if that's your job and you always get bronchitis, you need a new job, because that's those little paper masks are not going to do enough to protect you. So yeah, any kind of dust, fumes, vapors, any of that kind of stuff is really going to be a potential irritant to cause that kind of a problem for sure. So yeah, it should be avoided. And if you have bronchitis, yeah, you might do your own nails for a while till it's gone, because that mm-hmm. can irritate further.
You know, Doctor, I was reading that one of the things they were talking about, repeated bouts of bronchitis, also was possible that it meant that a person may have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known as COPD. And if that's the case, what if, I mean, there's, I'm sure, bound to be people who are going to get treated for bronchitis and, you know, maybe not even be aware themselves that it's moved from the bronchitis stage into the COPD stage. And I would gather that the doctor would be able to, you know, diagnose that. But just for somebody's own personal information, how, when they say repeated, it doesn't, it's not specific in terms of, you know, how often this bronchitis is repeated before it's considered COPD. Would you say once or twice? I mean, let's say, for example, if a person is getting this every year for 3 years, I mean, would that kind of raise your eyebrows? Like, okay, if every year I'm going through this, for the last 3 years I've gone through this, or maybe even the last 2 years, you know, are you, can you speak to that, you know, that it could possibly have gone into the COPD phase, and how long would you say that it would have had to have been considered bronchitis before you say, okay, it's not bronchitis, like with HIV and AIDS, okay, it's no longer HIV, it's AIDS now, you know, no longer is it bronchitis, it's COPD now, and that's the next progression. I mean, that's the next step up. If it's not treated at the bronchitis stage, it's going to turn into COPD. Hello, Dr. Lathan, you there?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, there was a mute button. I said not necessarily. I mean, that's definitely a possibility that chronic bronchitis could turn into COPD. So that's for sure. Usually, I mean, there are a number of reasons people get the COPD. Chronic bronchitis is one. Smoking is often one. Sometimes it's brought on by stress, too. But usually they're going to be maybe some other symptoms that would indicate COPD. So you would probably know that it's no longer just bronchitis, because, you know, COPD, you still have to cough all the time and all of that, but you kind of have more of that shortness of breath that usually causes a little more alarm than when you just have the bronchitis. So, you know, there's often where it feels like you can't breathe. So that, you know, you'd have to have a few more symptoms to know, but it's, you know, it's worth looking into, but it's usually, it can morph into COPD, but you would probably know by the addition of additional symptoms.
You know, Dr. Lathan, I was thinking about, excuse me, as I was preparing for the show, because when we're talking about bronchitis, obviously we're talking about the lungs, you know, the bronchial tubes in the lungs and the chest area. And I thought about meditation, you know, because, of course, when a person is meditating, they're actually consciously breathing. You know, they're actually paying attention in many cases to the breath. What would your thoughts be on meditation as a remedy, not just the only, but in conjunction with other things to try conscious breathing so that, I mean, because if you're going to inhale deeply, it seems like that constant influx of fresh air, of course, would be helpful. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Breathing really does help. Doing deep breathing, breathing in and breathing out, like as you would during meditation, is definitely very, very helpful. And then the meditation itself would be very helpful as well, because it helps reduce your stress and it helps build the immune system and all of that. So there's like multiple benefits to doing deep breathing, and deep breathing and meditation together is really going to be very beneficial for folks. So, you know, taking those deep breaths, a lot of times we shallow breathe a lot, and so we don't take things in and out and get all of fill up all of our chest cavity and let all of the stale air out. So the breathing in and out helps get that fresh, clean air in your system.
If we could talk for a moment, Doctor, about the immune system, you mentioned it, and with that being the shield, for lack of a better term, that's going to shield you from catching the virus or getting, you know, the virus, because there may be a person in a room, or there may be several people in a room, and somebody in the room comes in contact with the virus, or there may be, everybody in the room may come in contact with the virus, but it doesn't affect everybody the same way. You know, somebody may have no effects at all. I mean, they might go in there, you know, they might be in the same room with the person that has the chronic bronchitis and coughing and everything, and the person next to them might not ever, you know, come down with bronchitis. Obviously, in a situation like that, I think it's safe to say that one's immune system was stronger than the person who had the bronchitis. But if we could talk for a moment about the immune system and ways in which an individual can build it up, build their immune system up, so if they either come in contact with it or to prevent it, or if they have it, it's not a death sentence. I mean, you can build your immune system up to a point where you can, would you agree that you could expel the virus, or must the virus just run its course? I mean, can you expel the virus through a healthy immune system?
Definitely. That's what the immune system does. Absolutely. You don't have, there is really no running its course. Usually when a virus leaves, it's because you either took some antibiotics or some medication to help get it out of your system, or your immune system was able to regroup and get rid of the virus over time. So how long you battle with the bronchitis depends on how strong your immune system is. The weaker, the longer you're going to have it, the stronger, the quicker you're going to get rid of it. So, you don't have to, quote, let it run its course. You can stop it as soon as you can by giving your body a boost to the immune system. So absolutely, that would be a possibility. Definitely, that's the way it works. So not only is it a possibility, that's how it happens. So yes, you can do a lot with building up the immune system that way.
Now, when it comes to viruses and antibiotics, I read somewhere today that antibiotics don't work on viruses. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's said. So sometimes I guess it depends on the cause too. I mean, there's a bacterial infection, which antibiotics would work on. Then there's the virus part of it, which it really would not. That's why some people have some relief when they take some antibiotics for bronchitis, and then some people don't. Depends on what's really the cause of it. So if you're not responding to the antibiotics, and I mean, I'm not saying that's the first thing you should do, but if you're not, then clearly you've got to take another route, and that's going to be to let the body, help the body do what it does and fight it off through the immune system being, you know, fortified.
Well, can we talk about side effects for a moment then? Because there are people out here that may be dealing with bronchitis, and the doctor is prescribing that they take certain medications in addition to, you know, getting rest and the other things that you talked about. But with these medications, and particularly if the medications aren't working, even though a medication, you know, I'll put it this way. Oftentimes when people do take medications that are prescribed by a physician, even if the medication does what it's purported to do, there may be side effects associated with that particular product. But even if it doesn't do what it's purported to do, let's say somebody's taking medication for chronic bronchitis, but it's not working, then that does not negate the fact that there still may be side effects associated with that particular thing that's being given or prescribed, even though it's not working. I think that there may be people that just assume, well, if the doctor gave me something and it's not working, I don't have to worry about side effects. You can still have side effects even if something is not working, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely you can. So yeah, so there's always some type of side effect, or you know, with antibiotics. Obviously, one of them is that you're going to wipe out the good bacteria in your system as well. So you have to replenish that for sure. So that's you know, one thing just right off the cuff. So there's always a side effect on these. I would say 95% of the time, if not greater, there's a side effect to a medication, even if it does help. But even when it doesn't, you don't escape the side effect.
So when you take people that are dealing with the cough, you know, the cough is a really, really big thing for somebody that's got bronchitis. And, you know, they're taking the Vicks, you know, the cough syrup, I mean the cough syrup, and the throat lozenges and everything, to, you know. Now, I don't think that, and I'm, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that if they find some relief from that, that it's because the whatever was in the cough drop or whatever helped to what's the word I'm looking for? Reduce the inflammation in the bronchial tube, right? I mean, it's not like they, if that's the case, they could just eat cough drops all day and be, you know, and be fine. So it's not as though the whatever's in the cough drop or cough syrup is actually reducing the inflammation, is it? Or is it just I don't know if masking is the word, like an aspirin, like for example, an aspirin might stop the pain, but it doesn't deal with what causes the actual headache.
Right, absolutely. So that's correct. It doesn't get to the root cause. You might numb some things, quiet down the cough momentarily. There might be something in the cough drop that helps dilate the lungs and things like that. So you might have easier breathing momentarily, but it does not help it doesn't help the actual healing of the process. So basically, if you're feeling better, it's because you're taking something that's momentarily, temporarily helping with the symptoms, but it's not actually helping you heal. So yeah, it can make you feel a tiny bit better, but those things have side effects too. Cough drops are usually full of sugar or high fructose corn syrup. They're not very healthy for the body at all. So absolutely, those things aren't really going to get to the root cause. They're just going to mask what's you know, already just mask the symptoms. And like I said, you might feel momentarily better, but you need to address the root cause and build the immune system and look at the anti-inflammatory foods that help build the immune system as well. So, yeah, the cough syrups, the cough drops, and all those things usually, just like medications, have the negative side effects when you look at the ingredients. A lot of times they're just full of sugar, too.
So if, like, you know, we talked earlier about dairy not necessarily being a direct cause of chronic or acute bronchitis, but it could definitely be a direct cause of a weakened immune system. So meat, again, not being a direct cause of bronchitis, it could definitely be a direct cause to a weakened immune system. Could we then talk about the role that meat and dairy play in this whole discussion, just even as it relates to the immune system? Because if the immune system being weakened is the reason why the virus can even be, I don't want to use the word successful, but for lack of a better term, could actually attach itself or affect an individual, could we talk about the role that meat and dairy, the importance then even of meat and dairy, even though maybe not directly related to the cause of the virus, you know, but definitely, it's definitely related in that its effect on the immune system.
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, when you're on a whole food plant-based diet, you get fewer infections, bacterial infections, viruses, because your immune system is stronger and is able to fight those things off without a huge problem. And so when you're eating, a lesser diet where you're introducing lots of toxins into the system and a lot of inflammatory foods, then that's where an issue comes in, where you're not able to fight these things off. So you're at a disadvantage at that point. So definitely that's how it works. So plant-based diet is going to give you that advantage, fewer colds, coughs, flus. So if you're not getting the colds and coughs, the likelihood that you're getting a bronchitis is really low, as if you're not a smoker. So if you're on a plant-based diet, you're not a smoker, you reduce the probability of getting bronchitis pretty greatly, quite a bit. But if you're eating inflammatory foods and you're prone to those colds and flus, then that's when your risk is raised. And usually inflammatory foods that fall into that category of dairy, sugar, highly processed sugar, and meat, and highly processed meats and cheeses and all of that. That's part of dairy. So when you eliminate those, then you're on a better track. And you can also eat junk food and sugar on a vegan diet, but we're talking about a whole food diet that doesn't use the processed and refined sugar and things like that.
Is your understanding that bronchitis, is it contagious? Can somebody, you know, have it and, you know, somebody else get it just by coming into their space? Or unless, I mean, and I would, my answer to that would be if their immune system was weakened, then they would be, of course, susceptible to the virus that the person that they came in contact with had it. But, I mean, just as a general rule, is it contagious like a cold or something like that?
It can be if you're already kind of susceptible, but it's more or less bronchitis isn't necessarily contagious like a cold or flu. Usually you're going to get, you know, most likely you don't just start out with bronchitis. You're usually probably going to get a cold or flu first, and that's probably going to be the first sign of it. Anything is possible. You can, but it's usually not contagious. So if anything, if the virus that caused it still active, then that's typically what you would get. If it's caused by some other infection, then no. So it's not one of those highly contagious things like a cold or flu.
Wow. You know, I've learned a lot today about bronchitis, and I know that the listeners out there did as well. So if you happen to know somebody that has it and you know that they would need this information, share this link to this show with them. And Dr. Lathan, if you could share how people can get in contact with you if, you know, they heard this show and they or heard other shows and they want to get in contact with you to be, you know, get, so that you can consult with them, maybe put them on a nutrition plan. How can people reach you?
Sure. Folks can reach me via my website at rubylathan.com. That's rubylathon.com. And there is quite a bit of information about various recipes and blogs and things like that and videos. And you can also make appointments there, or you can email me directly at info@rubylathan.com, info@rubylathan.com, or you can call my office at 202-733-4980. That's 202-733-4980.
Dr. Lee, do you have anything coming up you'd like to make the family aware of? Any speaking engagements, lectures, workshops, anything going on that you would like for the family to know?
Sure. At the end of the month, on the 30th, we'll be doing another vegan cooking class. So people are welcome to join. It's going to be at the Salad Master Kitchen out in Beltsville, Maryland. So you're welcome to join, and you can find that information on the website and register for that. So that's September 30th, Sunday afternoon. So really looking forward to that.
That's got to be a very powerful class. I mean, because I know that people who are becoming vegan and vegetarian, they want to know, okay, if I'm going to eat this, I want it to taste good, you know, so you can tell them and show them how to make meals that will keep them coming back, right?
Absolutely, that's the goal, yeah, and a lot of, always have a fun time in the class, and people always say they tried it, the recipes at home, and of course you get to taste it, and so it definitely always adds to their arsenal of good food that they can, you know, really enjoy.
Well, Dr. Lathan, again, I want to thank you not just for today's show, but for all of the shows. Everybody, I want you to know that Dr. Lathan is in the archives. So all you have to do is just scroll down the archives. We've done shows on everything. I mean, you name it, we've done shows on it. I mean, so scroll down the archives, and when you see your name, click. And I guarantee you, you will be rewarded for the time that you spend listening to her. And definitely make it out to the cooking class. I mean, the vegan cooking class. I mean, you want to know how to prepare your food so that it's not only good for you, but that it's good to you, okay, when it's going down. So, Dr. Lathan, thank you so much again for your time. Any last second words for our listeners concerning, you know, bronchitis? A lot of times people don't know that they can actually reverse their condition. Any words for them?
Just know that your immune system works, and that's how you're going to heal and work on addressing that, getting the rest you need, the hydration you need, and boosting that immune system, and this is something you can certainly remedy.
Dr. Lathan, again, I want to thank you for your time, my sister. It's always, always a pleasure. Great to have you back, and I'm looking forward to next month's show, everybody. She comes on once a month, okay, every second Thursday of the month, Dr. Lathan is my special guest. So, again, make sure that you mark that on your calendar. Dr. Lathan, as always, thank you so much. Great show. I'll be in touch, my sister. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. Bye. Peace.
Thanks for having
everybody,
me.
I've got an announcement to make. just so that you are aware of this, I want you to have this information. Shechem Shechem, Dr. Raul Nefer-Amen, is coming to Washington, D.C. He's written a brand new book called Light on Kundalini Yoga, and there's going to be a book release party on this Sunday, September the 16th, and that's going to be at the Simbeb Wellness Complex in Washington, D.C. The zip code there, not the zip code, but the address there is 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., Now for the zip code. The zip code there is 20011. Again, that's going to be at the Synbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. The zip code there is 20011. The admission is only $10. The book signing is going to start at 4 p.m., and there's going to be a lecture at 5 p.m., okay? So, again, it's going to be the Light on Yoga book release party, okay? So you want to make sure that you are there for that. It's not every day that you get a chance to meet, greet, and sit and listen to Dr. Ra'un Nefer. Amen, okay? And, again, for only $10, for only $10, you can be there. Matter of fact, I'd like to say this. For only $10, you can take somebody with you. You know, there are times when people don't attend certain things, certain functions or whatever. They just might not have the money, but they just might not want to say that they don't have the money. For $10, I mean, you could take five people and not even miss it. Okay, so if you know that there's somebody that would love to be at that, I mean, you know that they would just love to be there, but they might not have it, then invite them to come with you. Okay, it's only $10. I mean, you can spare $10, right? I mean, rather than you go and then come back and tell them what a wonderful time you had, wouldn't it be better to just share the $10 and bring them along with you? I mean, we are in the month of Maad, right? I mean, but this is about sharing, right? So do that, okay? Again, that is when? Sunday, this Sunday, September the 16th. Where? At the Synbeb Wellness Complex. That's 6224 3rd Street in Washington, D.C. That's Northwest Washington, D.C. The zip code there is 20011. For more information, call 202-630-2507. Again, if you'd like more information, please call 202-630-2507. Again, the Light on Kundalini Yoga book release party featuring Shekham Shekham, Dr. Ra'un Nefer. Amen. You don't want to miss that, okay? Take somebody with you, okay? All right. Thank you so much again for tuning in. I hope this information was helpful to you. Again, bronchitis is no joke, and for anybody that's suffering from it, there are natural ways that you can deal with it, one being to build your immune system. That is what wards off. That's your shield against things that are out here, airborne things that would normally do in somebody. Doesn't have to do you in, but there are certain things that you can do to boost your immune system, okay? Eliminating dairy, eliminating meat is just one of them, okay? Drinking more water, meditating, breathing, okay? Wear a mask where necessary, so that you don't have to inhale all of the toxic fumes that could, of course, cause irritation to your bronchial tubes, okay? So, again, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Again, to all of the new listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and making us a part of your experience. I do appreciate you. I don't take you for granted. Again, my name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Etepa.